The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them, so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals. Whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation, Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Welcome to my favorite Elliott Smith song. This podcast is all about keeping Elliott Smith's legacy alive by speaking to well-known fans about their favorite song of his. So hi, happy new year, and welcome to episode 4 of the season. Our guest for this one is Hayley Faure of Circuit des Yeux. Hayley is a Chicago-based experimental musician who has been releasing music under the Circuit des Yeux name since 2007. And she put out her 7th studio album, titled Halo on the Inside, in March of last year. Hayley's been a big Elliott Smith fan since discovering his music while she was in high school. And in this interview, she talks about taking long drives as a teenager with only Elliott for company, how she saw herself in his music, and we also go deep into her pick, Everything Means Nothing to Me, from the album Figure 8. So here's Hayley speaking to Elizabeth Wood Stanley.
I am Hayley of Circuit des Yeux. The song I picked, one of my favorites, is Everything Means Nothing to Me.
Someone found the future as a statue in a fountain, an attention looking backward in a pool of water, wishes with a blue songbird on his shoulder who keeps singing over everything. Everything means nothing to me. Everything means nothing to me. Everything means nothing to me.
I think it's an interesting point in Elliott's career. He's brought drums into the mix, and this song in particular has a kind of airiness that works well with like the heaviness of the lyric, Everything Means Nothing to Me. And it sort of dissolves into this mantra that reminds me of maybe like a private prayer or something that really resonates with me. I first heard this song when I was about 16, 17 years old. And I remember having my driver's license and going for drives out into the... I grew up in Indiana, so I'd take these drives out into sort of the cornfields and the more rural areas and have this real sense of independence. But also I was just dealing with puberty and just so much discomfort and heaviness, and this song was just like a really, I just remember feeling so emo, and this song kind of going and being not only drawn to, you know, the production and the way he plays guitar and sings, but just, yeah, the lyrics itself are kind of self-sabotaging or something.
Picked up the song and found my picture in the paper, the reflection in the water showed an Iron Man still trying to salute people from a time when he was everything he's supposed to be. Everything means nothing to me. Everything means nothing to me.
So was Figure 8 the first album of his that you started listening to?
Either Or was actually my my entry point to Elliott Smith. I had a neighbor who lived a couple blocks over, and he would bring me CDs, and he was a really emotional guy. Like, he would read Charles Bukowski and was obsessed with that movie Donnie Darko, and this, yeah, I remember him bringing Either Or over, as well as the Weezer Blue album, and being like, here, this, you should listen to this. And I was instantly hooked.
And at that time, were you a musician yourself? Were you playing music?
At the time, I was singing in choirs, but I was doing it in a really formalized way. And I think hearing that music of his gave me the calling to get a guitar of my own. I got an acoustic guitar on eBay that was just a piece of crap, man. It was barely playable for $50. One of those like nylon string ones where the action is so high. But thinking that like, oh, I could just write songs like Elliot, and you know how his guitar work is so sophisticated. but it definitely was kind of an entry point for me, trying to write my own songs.
So you started with Either Or, and that eventually led you to Figure Eight, where this song resides. Did you just, you know, really start diving into his catalog after listening to Either Or?
Yeah, totally. XO, and at the time, I mean, his later album, the Elliott Smith album, I had all of them, and I was pretty religiously listening to him. And I also really admired that he recorded himself. I like that he had acne too. I had really bad acne when I was a teenager, and I don't know why, but something about that helped me see myself in him, you know?
He's very relatable.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But, I totally was just like eating all of his music at once, kind of.
So you get in your car or your parents' car and drive out to the cornfields and put Everything Means Nothing to Me on and work through your teen anxiety.
Totally. Totally.
So you got a guitar on eBay and you started to learn how to play, maybe realized how complex the guitar is in his songs.
Yeah.
Did you try to cover any of his songs?
I did try to maybe cover a couple of his songs, but completely just like realized within an instant, like, this is so far beyond me. I mean, I didn't know chord structures. I didn't, you know, I mean, finger picking is the main way I play guitar. And I think kind of like downloading guitar tabs and giving it a go showed me kind of the discipline it takes to get into that automatic movement with melody. I mean, I was also really into Led Zeppelin and stuff at the time. And I admit that my taste in music is eclectic. And at some points, maybe Elliott Smith was a little bit of a secret. You know, his album sits next to like John Coltrane and things that are a little more like seriously taken as an adult, if you will.
You mentioned that you started out singing in choirs. Were you, in listening to Elliott Smith, were you intrigued in how he was singing in the songs?
Definitely. I mean, his voice is delicate and there's a lot of emotion in the way that he sings his words. And I share that with him, even though our voices are so different. Like, I feel like when I hear his voice, it's almost like a very thin piece of paper that could be torn at any moment. And my voice is very robust and loud and kind of fills a room. But I do think that like emotion lives at the very tip of my tongue in a way that he also did in his own way, if that makes sense.
And going back to this song, you know, what do you feel about that, you know, repetition of the lyrics that's pretty excessive in this song, I would say, compared to many of his others?
Yeah, I think the crescendo and the repetition combined overwhelms me and helps me, I don't know, grapple with some message that at first I maybe disregard, or even try to avoid, but through repetition, it gets closer and closer to you until it kind of commands your attention. And there's a feeling of transcendence where the words kind of just turn into sounds. And I don't know, that's just so effective to me. And it feels almost utilitarian, like it really takes me somewhere and transports me. And I think that is something that I'm constantly trying to touch on in my own compositions, like how to bring someone somewhere and maybe they're not able to reach in their normal day to day.
Everything means nothing to me. Everything means nothing to me.
I mean, there's piano on the song, yeah. And that, I don't know, that I love his songs with piano. There's something about it that, I mean, his guitar playing, like I said, is so sophisticated and close to the heart. His piano arrangements feel almost childlike and lighter, like a lighter side to him. And that kind of excites me because they're really just peppered through his discography. You know, one song here, one song there. But I just have this feeling that in those moments, he was in touch with this child part of him that I've been really interested in trying to unlock in myself and like also acknowledge in other people, you know.
I saw that you have worked with one of our previous guests on the podcast before, Claire Rousey, which was interesting. Can you tell me about that collaboration or that work?
Yeah, Claire remixed a few songs off my last album, EO, and we did an EP of remixes together. And, you know, when I say remix, most people think of like a dance club remix, but she used mostly the horns and she really pulled some really aquatic, deep kind of transformation that felt really super emotional, almost like a Mahler piece or something, really very symphonic and gorgeous. And I kind of reached out to her and we met through the experience of experimental music. I do a lot of extended vocal technique stuff and more ambient works. And the way Claire uses found sound and her voice, I don't know, it was kind of like a perfect match. And we kind of had a friendship blossom out of that. She's really amazing and a very brave artist, you know, always shifting.
Yeah, I really enjoyed interviewing her a few years ago. Did you two at all connect on Elliot Smith? Did that come up in conversation at all?
It didn't, but she wears the emo thing so bright, like on her sleeve, you know. Like my emo worship is a little more of a hidden secret.
Why would you say that? Why is it a hidden secret?
Why is it? I guess I'm a little older than her, maybe, and earnestness. I'm afraid to wear my earnestness, you know, as a maybe someone a little older who's been through more, who has more responsibilities. I mean, the darkness that Elliot provides and you can like kind of wade in with him is really a solve and medicinal, but at the same time, I think I might have really romanticized where he was coming from at the first, you know, in the early days. And I know, I understand the circumstances that killed him, and I've seen it in my life, whether through myself or people around me. You know, this industry is omnipresent with those types of drug abuse issues and lack of self-esteem and things like this. And I'm at the point in my life where I'm really just grasping for some kind of like karmic positivity within humanity and trying to stay alive as long as possible. If that makes sense.
So do you feel as a musician that being able to look at and reflect upon Elliot's career, that it helped make you more aware going into that profession of the pitfalls?
Yeah, it's certainly, I mean, it's so tragic and sad. And
Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, on the other side of the coin, I mean, I did learn how specific he was about gear and, you know, reading the book about him in the documentary where he was just so specific and loved to talk about amps and mics. And that also really inspired me as someone who was interested in that kind of stuff at a young age to hold vigilant on like what tools you're drawn to.
And how about the way that he was recording that, you know, some of it recording on tape and like analog. And I think in some of the early music, you know, it's very maybe obtainable in the sense that it doesn't sound like, you know, some big recording studio that he's in. Were those things that you were picking up on as well?
Absolutely. It was, like you said, so reachable. And I, you know, my first five albums, I self-recorded and, you know, had a little, had tape machines. And he was definitely the first example of that. Also, understanding that maybe certain vulnerabilities and emotions can only be captured in a domestic, comfortable space too, you know, like it's kind of wild to expect an artist to like show open-chested like the darkest part of themselves, but then to do it in like a sterilized commercial studio. I don't know, that it seems kind of impossible.
Is there anything else that we haven't touched upon about Elliot Smith that you wanted to share that maybe I didn't ask the right questions?
I think maybe talking about, like I was saying, the trajectory of his discography as a whole. I'm also really empowered by the way it developed. Like he did grow, and you can see that, you know, going electric, bringing in drums and bass and things. And it's his vulnerability and like the closeness stays intact. And I think that's beautiful. I hope to see that. And I don't know, it's maybe because it was cut short is why it's so perfect to me. But yeah, I acknowledge his bravery in that.
Thank you very much to Haley for being our guest on the podcast. It was a huge pleasure to have her on. And the end of the interview brings today's episode to a close. We'll be back with another in a couple of weeks. In the meantime, please do check us out on social media. We're at My Fave E. Smith Song. Thank you very much for listening. We'll see you soon.